Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
My text for this early Sunday morning broadcast is going to be from Paul's epistle to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I want to read the last few verses of that chapter, Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. And listen carefully to what the Apostle Paul writes. He says these words, "And being not weak in faith," he's talking about Abraham here, "and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone," that is, for Abraham's sake alone, "now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe." You see it? "If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." So that's my text for this early Sunday morning message. The righteousness the Apostle Paul speaks of here is not a religious righteousness. No, it's not a religious righteousness. The righteousness that the Apostle Paul speaks of here is not a law righteousness. It's not a church righteousness. It's not a denominational righteousness. It's not a moral righteousness. It's not an ethical righteousness. It is much more than that. The righteousness the Apostle Paul is writing about here, he begins speaking of it in chapter 1, and he writes these words in verse 16 of Romans 1. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And look at it. "For therein," that is in the gospel, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed." You see it? "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." He also says, chapter 3, listen to what he says about this righteousness. As I said, remember, this is not a religious righteousness. This is not a law righteousness. This is not a church righteousness. It's not a denominational righteousness. It's not even a moral or an ethical righteousness. It's much more than that. It's the righteousness of God. And listen to chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Clearly, it's not a legal righteousness. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." Notice what he wrote. Notice what Paul's actually saying. He did not say faith in Christ. The righteousness he's talking about is the righteousness of Christ's faith. That's what he says. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." So we see that this righteousness Paul's talking about, this righteousness which will be imputed to all those that believe, is the very righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. His faithfulness, his veracity, his truthfulness, his obedience, his good works. This is the righteousness of God. Now, I do ask you, give ear to me this morning. I have four thoughts for you, and I do pray that God will just encourage you and enable you to want to hear what I have to say from God's word. Remember, this righteousness, and it's a righteousness imputed, and it's imputed if we believe, if we believe. So I have four thoughts for you this morning. First of all, there has ever been and will ever be only one God-accepted righteousness. Read again. Romans chapter 4, look at what it says. Romans chapter 4, now it was not written for his sake alone that it, that is righteousness, you see that in verse 22 preceding, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it, that is this God righteousness, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So you see it? Beginning to end. Beginning to end. Hebrews chapter 11 says, By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It's by faith. By faith. On and on through the scriptures. It's constantly faith. Revelation chapter 22. Listen to what the Apostle John wrote in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10 and 11. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now look, he that is unjust, that is unrighteous, that's the word. He that is unjust or unrighteous, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, do you see it? Just. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy or set apart, sanctified, let him be holy still. That's from beginning to end. From Abel all the way to the end of the book of the revelation of God. So you see, there's ever been and always will only be one God-accepted righteousness. And that is that righteousness that is Christ itself. That righteousness which comes from his holy character, his righteous character, his just character. But here's the second thing. Think of this. Faith being given by God to his elect, and God gives faith to his elect. Faith is not something you work up. Faith is not something you come down with. Faith is not something you pray through for. Faith is the gift of God. The second thing again is, faith being given by God to his elect, they continue to believe. Now, think about this. Go back to Romans chapter 4. I read a couple of the same verses again, but consider this. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. That is, it wasn't written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him, that his righteousness was imputed to him, but for us also. Paul is including himself. And Paul's been a believer for years. Do you see it? Now, think about what I'm saying here. Think about this. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. You see, oh, if God would just help me and help you to get a hold of this. Faith and imputed righteousness is no one-time event. I was born and raised in a religion that always talked about some time in the past when they came forward, when they went forward and prayed the sinner's prayer, or when they gave their heart to the Lord. But believing God, once you start to believe God, you never cease to believe God if that faith was the gift of God. Paul is writing to believers, and he said, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe, if we believe. And again, Hebrews chapter 11, speaking of all those great men and women of faith who had that great and grand and glorious gift of God called faith. It says, these all died in faith. So again, there's ever been and will ever be only one God accepted righteousness. And faith, when God gives it, when God gives you faith to believe, you will continue to believe. If you can ever back away from that faith, throw that faith to the ground. If you can ever abandon that faith, then that faith was not the faith that God gives to his elect. Thirdly, faith never informs God of our righteousness. Do you hear what I'm saying? Faith is not informing God of our righteousness. Faith is laying hold of God's sovereign ability. Again, I'll read one of the same verses. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. You see it? It wasn't written for his sake alone. His sake and our sake. Do you see it? Now look, back up now, verse 20. He, let's talk about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that is what God had promised, God was also able to perform. So you see it? You see, consider this. God promised mercy. God does not offer mercy. God promised mercy. And you can find that in Luke chapter 1, verse 72. Luke 1 and 72 is quite clear. God promised mercy. And what is real faith? What is true faith? What is a God-given faith? What is the faith of God's elect, God's chosen people, God's special people? What is that faith? It believes this. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. God also promised the gospel. Romans chapter 1, according to the Apostle Paul. And listen to what he says. Now, consider this. Romans chapter 1, first few verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. And look, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So you see, the gospel was promised by God. God don't offer the gospel to men and women. God promised his gospel. And his gospel came. And his gospel is being preached unto you right now. Now look at what it says. Again, go back and read it now without the parentheses. And look at what Paul's saying. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, separated unto what? What's the one main thing Paul was separated unto? The gospel of God. Verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So God promised mercy. God will give mercy. And God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I believe that God is able to do what he promised. But not only that, he promised mercy. He promised his gospel. He promised eternal life. You know that? Listen to what Paul wrote to Titus. You'll find that in Titus chapter 1. And listen to what the Apostle Paul, in writing to Thomas, said. He said he promised eternal life. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Do you see it? According to the faith of God's elect. And the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised, do you see it? Promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So there's just three things. That's me just scratching the surface. That's me just dripping a drop out of the bucket. You see, again, listen to me. Faith never informs God of our righteousness. Faith is laying hold of God's sovereign ability to perform, to do, to actually accomplish exactly what he promised to do. He promised eternal life. And there's much more, but consider this. God was not dependent upon Abraham and Sarah. You remember the account of Abraham and Sarah? Abraham was too old to have children. Sarah was barren from her youth and could not conceive. God was not dependent upon Abraham and Sarah. And when a man comes to you, any man comes to you and preaches anything along the line that can be summed up as this, God's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. That man is not sent of God. That man is not preaching the gospel. God was not dependent upon Abraham and Sarah. But there's even more. Neither was Abraham and Sarah dependent upon themselves. Now, look at it. Let's read again. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, where I began reading to start with. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. That is, not physically dead, but he was not able to produce children. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, and neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. That wasn't the point. It was physically impossible, for Abraham and Sarah to come together and produce a child, an offspring, physically impossible. But God promised he's going to have a son. And God promised he's going to have a son by Sarah. So again, think of it. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And here is faith, and being fully persuaded. Here is the faith of God's elect, and being fully persuaded. Here is the faith that is God's gift, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. You see, look at Hebrews chapter 10. Here's an amazing thing. Hebrews chapter 10. And listen to what verse 23 says. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Now it does not say. It does not say hold fast to your profession of faith. That's not what it says. Thousands are calling upon men and women to come forward and make some profession of faith, and they are encouraged to, later on in life, if they ever doubt, if they ever fear, then look back to that profession you made way back yonder when you was 14, 15, 16 years old or whatever. That's not what the writer's talking about. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Now look at it. For he is faithful that promised. What a glory. Another thing. See, again, faith never informs God of our righteousness. Faith's not something you come up with and then prove to God you mean business. Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is believing in God's ability, not your ability. Faith is believing that God's able to perform what he promised in spite of the fact that you can't do anything about it. You have no power, no ability whatsoever. You understand the deadness of yourself. You understand to some degree what you are by nature and that you have no ability to present yourself righteous before God. But you believe God's promise. And you believe that God is able to perform that which he promised. So men, he promised mercy. He promised his gospel. He promised eternal life. He don't offer any of these things. He promised it. He's going to bring it to pass. Here's another thing. Now this, you don't inform God of your righteousness by faith. Faith is not your righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness given to you by which God imputes his righteousness to you in Christ Jesus. Here's the fourth thing under this fact that faith never informs God of our righteousness. Think of it. No man or a woman ever comes up with faith. You hear what I said? No man or woman ever comes up with faith. As I said before, you don't pray faith down. You don't work faith up. Faith is the free, unmerited, unearned gift of God. God breathes on a dead soul. And God gives faith, the ability to believe. And by that faith, a man or a woman, then hearing the gospel of Christ, will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul wrote. Philippians chapter 1. And just one verse there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given. It is given. You see, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, I realize the emphasis there from Paul is on the suffering. And the suffering is a what? It's a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to merit it. if you believe God, suffering will come. But notice what else he said. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe, so therefore it was given you to believe. And that is without question. Look at what Paul also wrote. Ephesians chapter 1. This is about believing. Remember, faith is not you informing God of some righteousness you have in believing God. Faith is believing that what God promised, God's able to perform. And listen to what Paul writes. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. Writing to these Ephesian believers. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And look at it. Here it is. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? And how do you believe? Do you come up with it? Do you just muster it up? Do you pray it down? That's not what it says. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Do you see it? Oh, I pray God gives you eyes to see it, a heart to perceive it, and ears to hear it this morning. How does any man or woman, how does any boy or girl, how does any white man or black man or red man or whatever woman, how does anyone ever come to believe? They come to believe according to the working of his mighty power. And what kind of power is that? Look at it. Look at it. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, that is, Christ's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, again, I tell you, no man or woman ever just comes up with faith. So that's the three things. Again, there has been and ever will only be one God-accepted righteousness. Secondly, faith being given to God's elect, they continue to believe. If we believe, if we believe, if we believe. Thirdly, faith never informs God of our righteousness. Faith receives a righteousness. It believes Christ. It trusts God to do what he promised to do. And here's the fourth thing. Imputed righteousness by believing is grounded in Christ's faithfulness in his life and his cross work, in his resurrection and his exaltation. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. And if you wish to follow along, turn to Philippians chapter 3 and listen to what he says. Philippians chapter 3. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about all of his background, his religion, his righteousness in the law. That's what he talks about. But then look at what he says in verse 7. Philippians 3, verse 7. Look at the context. Read it for yourself. Don't take my word on it. Read it for yourself. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, you see it? What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. There is no question about this, Paul says. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. But why? That I may win Christ, and be found in him. Now look at it. Oh, look at it. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through. Now look at this phrase again. Remember I mentioned it a moment. That which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What a glory. What a glory. Now, let me conclude this morning. What kind of faith do you have? You say you got faith? What kind of faith do you have? The God-accepted faith is Christ's faith. Yes, it is Christ's faith, given in measure, according to Paul in Romans 12, verse 3. Given in measure, not faith as fully as Christ had it, but the faith of Christ nonetheless, and given in measure to God's people. But that faith given to some, in which and from which those given that measure they will believe. And what will they believe? Go back again. Romans chapter 4. What will they believe? Listen. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, and it was. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, and it was. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And what is that? How is that faith defined? Here it is defined. And being fully persuaded that what he, that is God, had promised, he, that is God, was able to perform. Now hear me now. Religious faith is not it. Religious faith is not it. Righteousness imputed is by faith, but it's a God-given faith. It's not some kind of religious faith. It's a God-given faith. Law righteousness don't cut it. To whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. See, did Abraham have the law? Did Abraham have the law? No, he didn't. Abraham didn't even have this book. And yet Abraham, what? He believed God. He believed that what God Almighty had promised, God Almighty was able to perform. Do you remember the account? And if you don't, I want to briefly give it to you. Remember the account? There was a leper that came to Christ. And you know what his statement to Christ was? He said, Lord, if you will, you are able to make me whole. Do you get it? Lord, if you will. Friends, it all depends upon God. It all depends upon his will. Can you fall down in the dust before Christ as that old leprous beggar? Lord, if thou will, if you will, thou canst make me clean. If you can, if you can. If God's given you that ability and you can bow down before Christ, you will hear him say to you through his scripture, through his gospel, I will be thou clean. Yet, we find that Abraham was imputed righteousness by faith. Faith believing God's ability. Now, I would encourage you to listen at 12 noon every Sunday, God willing. Every Sunday you can hear a portion of one of our Lord's Day Sunday morning messages. I strongly encourage you to tune in and to listen to those.